fine. Do the German instructions say what this is supposed to do?
Deutsch. Let me see here. That is either an incense dispenser or a ceremonial sarcophagus.
My German is pre-industrial and mostly religious.
Gotham Sports Network presents NYG Weekly.
NYG Weekly.
Ethan Weisenick here with you after the Munich disaster. Before we get into it, you know what we got to do? We got to take care of the housekeeping. First things first, follow us on Twitter. Follow me at EthanGSN. Follow Weiss at NYG Daily. Follow Nick at Nick Zeraris. Follow the blog at Gotham SN. Subscribe. We're everywhere. iTunes, Audio Boom, Google Play, Stitch Radio, Spotify. Subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe, rate us 5 stars. Leave us a kind review. Gentlemen, the 2-8 New York Giants head into the bye week. Long flight home from Munich. Things are terrible. What's going on?
Nothing. I'm good.
You're good?
Yeah.
He's reached agnostic. It took a while, but I mean, apathy. What else are we supposed to do? I mean,
yeah, it sucks. I mean, I don't know. I just don't care. I'm taking the same attitude that I took last episode. Well, at least I'm saying that until we get into a screaming argument about something. But for now, I just don't understand why I should care. Joe Shane doesn't care. Brian Daboll doesn't care.
Okay, so let's start there, because you and I were talking about this, and you and I are on the same side of this, that they're using Jones as the sacrificial lamb of, what would you like me to do? There is nothing we can do. It buys them time, and it gives them cover. Weiss disagreed. So lay the case out a little more broadly, Ethan, and then Weiss, please explain why you don't think that's right.
I appreciate this, Nick. You got to start, I think, for the rest of the season, taking on more of a producer, setting the table type role, because I can't do it for the rest of the season. It used to be easy, but I can't do it. I think it makes total sense but it doesn't. I don't know, man. Like I said this last week. I'm the Joe Rogan of Giants podcasting right now. Like the last person that talks to me is I'm going to agree with them. So, you know, we were texting earlier, and to me, there is no reason. Like, I mean, I had a conspiracy earlier in the week that, like, you know, they thought that maybe they could rattle off a couple of these wins. I mean, some of them were obviously pretty close, and that they'd be, I mean, not even close to 500, but closer to 500. You flip two of these games, you're basically, I mean, almost there. But for me, I just don't understand it. The guy's got the injury guarantee. I had someone in my mentions talking about, like, the Players Association. Like, the evidence has been there for weeks to bench this guy, and some would argue seasons. So to me, it's an unnecessary risk. The guy stinks at football, and I think that they took this too far, because post bye, I don't see any winnable games, maybe one, maybe like at most for Daniel Jones. I don't know if I see any for Drew Lock. So if you make the switch now after the bye, you've got two wins, a quarterback that's playing dreadful football, has been playing dreadful football since he came back from his injuries. And then what, you're going to throw Drew Lock out there, and then it opens yourself up to absorb some blame? I don't know. I think that this league is so week to week, and that us fans can be very, very short-sighted, that if they do make the switch and Drew Lock comes in, and they start losing games, then it's like we sort of forget about the fact that they managed to win 9 in year one with Daniel Jones, and 6 in year two with Tommy DeVito and Tyrod Taylor. And we're like, really, this was the backup quarterback plan? Like, you guys are actually, won't use that word, but really dumb. And I don't know. It reeks of self-preservation. I don't know what else it could be.
Yeah, I don't buy that theory, because it's not working. Maybe it worked a month ago about this whole
right. Using, see, you're right.
You know, but
Pat Leonard's already writing Fire Joe Sheen articles.
I don't care.
He's a wrestling figure at this point. He's just doing a bit. He's not serious.
This is the breakdown of Giants Twitter beat writers. There's left, right, and center. I think Art Stapleton is left. I think Pat Leonard is right. And I think Dan Duggan is right down the middle.
Can I tell you the God honest truth of why? I don't think these people actually care about the well-being of the Giants. Like, they're not writing this because they believe these people are bad at their job. They're writing this because over the last year, a lot of their sources have left the building, either fired or whatever.
Well, we know that for at least one beat writer, but whatever.
That's why they're mad. So you guys can figure out the rest. Now, back to my point. It worked a month ago, Nick, this whole theory of using him as a shield. But over the course of the last month, I've said it, you've said it, everyone has pretty much said it. Like, it's no longer about Daniel Jones. I mean, we know he has, like, it's over. It's been over, right? It's you keep playing him, you just keep further digging yourself into a hole. Whether it's because you're lying and saying Daniel Jones, like saying we're playing Daniel Jones because he gives us the best chance to win when you're the 32nd ranked offense in the NFL doesn't make you look good, and it doesn't shield you from anything. You signed Drew Lock.
That's why this was, I can't find a single logical reason that he is still the starting quarterback.
You can't.
Not tanking.
I think what it is that they had a plan, right? And they're not going to alter their plan. It was, we're going to give Daniel Jones until the bye week or midseason, whatever, and we're going to see where we are. And a part of them probably thinks that, you know, they're scared. Can it look worse with Drew Lock or Tommy DeVito? I think it won't. I don't know what you guys think about it. I think it'll either look the same or slightly better. Exactly. But I do think, you know, this benching is coming. I think Dable kind of hinted.
Okay, well, and here's another perspective then. If Drew Lock does come in and he looks significant, I mean, again, the bar is the floor. So when I say significantly better, I mean mediocre. Yeah.
Right.
And they win a few games. That's an indictment on them that they started Daniel Jones all this fucking time when they could have been competitive all season.
Absolutely. Yeah. There's nothing in this.
That was the conspiracy that I was talking about.
I don't think there's anything that can happen the rest of the season when it comes to the quarterback position where they'll come out looking good. Now,
they've backed themselves into a no-win situation. I don't get it.
And we knew that coming into the season. Like,
no, we didn't. Because we were like, listen, if he plays bad, there's Weiss, and maybe I'm lying right now, but I don't think any of us thought, like, if you were to ask us in the beginning of the season, they have the 32nd ranked offense, they've got two wins. They've blown games in horrific fashion because they didn't have a kicker, because their running back fumbled the ball in overtime, because this, that, and the other thing, that Daniel Jones was still starting this late in the year with the injury guarantee.
No. What I mean is that they backed them. We knew that coming into the season because their backup quarterback, we knew, like, we didn't know if he comes in, would he look better than Daniel Jones? Like, we knew that with Tyrod, because we saw it with Tyrod.
Yes.
We didn't know that with Drew Lock. And the fact that we didn't know that, and now, you know, what, 8-10 weeks into the season, we're like, they're still, you know, trotting Daniel Jones out there. And part of that's because they don't know if it could look worse with Drew Lock. I think that says a lot about how they structured this quarterback room. And that's why I think there's no way they can come out of this looking good. Now, what they can do, I think, is if you go to Drew Lock or you eventually go to Tommy DeVito and the offense looks competent and you're able to function offensively, I think that, I don't know about you guys, but I think that further proves, like, okay, we know that a lot of the issues offensively were the quarterback, and maybe if we get a different quarterback or a better quarterback, it kind of gives, it could be better. Maybe it puts a little bit more trust in Brian Daboll than where we are right now.
That's fine, and I don't disagree with you, but then I'm playing devil's advocate here, and I'm saying you wasted literally hours of my life. You wasted thousands of fan dollars going to games, following this team for literally no reason. Like, this guy was in the building the whole time. Daniel Jones was dog shit from day one. And, oh, great, Drew Lock is actually better now. maybe we're like close to 500. Like maybe we've got wild card aspirations, but we just, sorry, we wanted to waste your time and money because no reason.
I think,
and again, you could, that argument can go back even further. That argument can go back to not wanting to pay Russell Wilson because you didn't want to let him compete for the job.
I don't disagree. I mean, I talked about it.
Why am I supposed to take solace in the fact that, oh, okay, Brian Daboll maybe can coach after I've wasted thousands and thousands of dollars and hours of time, you know?
Well, I agree with you. I mean, I think that they should have had Drew Lock, allowed Drew Lock to compete for the starting job. I think the leash shouldn't have been this long with Daniel Jones. But, you know, like I said, for me, it always goes back to the fact that they didn't bring in real competition and they just handed the guy the job. I've spoke about it multiple times. The fact that they didn't, I think that plays into why we're here week 10 and Daniel Jones is still the starting quarterback of the Giants.
Yep.
So I have another question off of that, because you said something along the lines of, if you bring in Locke or you start DeVito and the offense looks better, what is a good version of the Giants offense look like? Because it is just, it's all
not 32nd in the league. I'm not even asking for good. I'm asking for not dead last.
Because like, what are we good at? Like functionally, what in theory nothing. Could the Giants be good at?
Nothing. They can't really, nothing. They can't run the ball.
Well, they've been able to find something with Tracy, so they run the ball.
Okay, besides two big plays.
I don't think they have an identity because they are so hamstrung at quarterback. And I want to say this, I know we're going to get into more of this. I'm not making an excuse for anybody when I say this, but I think that this quarterback, it kills any sort of confidence this team has going into games. They might
knock on table.
They practice well, they're prepared well, they buy into the message. But the moment,
I don't know about that, but
well, for the most part, but when they get into the game and the first mistake happens, it's like, that's it. Like, it's off.
Yeah.
And you saw it in Carolina, right? Like, I know they came out in the second half, but the second half, that comeback was sparked on the running game, right? So I just think he kills any sort of confidence or any sort of, you know, like, yeah, we can win this game. And because here's the thing, at any point of that game last night or yesterday morning, excuse me, did you guys think that they were going to win that game?
Even a little bit, yeah, actually, because Carolina is just as incompetent, if not less competent.
So a lot of that,
I thought there was a little bit,
but a lot of your confidence was predicated on who the opponent was, yes, not who the Giants are. Same thing in Pittsburgh. Did anybody actually think that they were going to go down the field and win that game against Pittsburgh? By the way, yesterday in Carolina gave them three chances to win that game in regulation. Three. The Giants punted twice, and they threw a pick in the red zone. So.
And by the way, Carolina was starting, I would say, hands down the worst quarterback draft pick since Daniel Jones yesterday.
Yeah. Well, unless you, depending on what you think about Anthony Richardson. I mean, you can't forget about Zach Wilson and Trey Lance.
Well, Bryce Young is more recent than those guys. So most recent.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah, you're right. I get those two drafts mixed up for some reason.
Everything blurs together at this point. You could tell me anything over the last 6 years, and I'd probably believe you in all honesty.
Yeah.
So.
Nick, what I was guess the other thing?
The big question.
I just derailed it. I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. The big question. Do you think they deserve to pick the next quarterback? Because that's ultimately what this comes down to. And because of the way they've handled Jones, does that impact your ability, your way you think they evaluate? Because the argument we were having in the group chat this morning was, well, if they have made an evaluation of Jones and thought they could do more with him and he failed, that is a stinging indictment of their evaluation process. Do you really trust them to evaluate a draft class where there's one guy who's kind of emerging in Shador as the clear cut first one, but not like a strong conviction about him? And then all the rest of them have real question marks based on number of games, quality of competition, quality of offense. You know, do you really trust them to make this decision? Because based on how they've drafted, based on how they've handled Jones, you have real questions about
that. Yeah, but again, I think the one thing that some people have been speaking about, so I feel like it's very underrated when people are talking about like this draft a quarterback conversation, is because of how poorly this season has gone. Let's say they finish with 2 wins, 3 wins, and they go into next year and they're like, hey, we picked the rookie quarterback and they're going to start him from week one, or they're going to bring in Russell Wilson and the rookie quarterback, whatever it is, and they get off to a bad start, they don't survive the season. And then you just wasted a pick on a quarterback, you know? So again, I see both sides of it. Like, I see that one as being bad process, but I also see it being a means to an end. Like, yeah, like if you like go out there and you pick your Josh Rosen, then fine, fucking fire everyone. Your team's going to be bad enough that you're going to have a second shot at it again the year after.
I know Ethan's going to get mad at me at this because he's been mad at me for a week over my take about this. But to me, retaining Shane and Dable is not necessarily, do you trust them picking your next quarterback?
But I don't trust them to do pretty much anything.
That's fair. I sort of look at this roster a lot different than you guys. I actually think this is a good roster that has flaws. I think their offensive line is good. I know even when they lost Andrew Thomas, it fell apart. But with Thomas there, it was a good O-line.
I don't think that makes them good.
But listen,
you lose one piece and you become one of the worst in the league. You're not a good line.
Well, this is where they messed up. They didn't do a good job going out and getting a swing tackle. They put too much faith.
Forget the swing tackle. They swung and missed on Evan Neal. They drafted Josh Azudu in the 60s, and he's unstartable.
Well, let me get there. I'm gonna come there. Right. They have a good defensive line. They have a good defensive line. A good front seven. I think they have good receivers. I think Tyrone Tracy's a good running back. I think they have a. If you were to tell me, Ethan, what's your perfect combination for a running back? It's this: a cheap veteran and a rookie that's picked in the later rounds. That's exactly what they have. I think this is a, you know, you talk about your whole narrative thing. I think you're basing that on the fact that you think that this offense can be good if they had better quarterback play.
Probably, yeah.
Okay, so I don't see how we're changing that on a week-to-week basis. I think
again, but when it's fine. But until they do have a veteran that comes in here, the misses are glaring. They're glaring, glaring, glaring. And like, I'm never ever going to compare Shane to his, as Will calls him, his despicable predecessor. But like, the draft misses are, from a talent perspective, bad if not worse. Not from a value perspective, obviously. But when you're taking Deontay Banks over Joey Porter Jr., when you're trading up for Jalin Hyatt and you can't fucking use the guy, when you're taking Josh Azudu with a 60, stop it. When you're taking Josh Azudu,
I'm not defending the Hyatt thing. I'm saying like, wait, you put this guy in the doghouse, but yesterday he didn't look like somebody that was like unplayable. Hyatt.
He had how many catches? Three? Two?
I'm saying it's more of an indictment on them that they put him in the doghouse when it's not like he was.
Either way, they're using high draft capital on a guy that they deem is not startable. It's the same thing with Evan Neal. Yesterday he looked fine, but obviously he's not that good. You know, we're talking about the fucking Carolina Panthers. Like, they can't cover for shit. So, like, to me, there's so many just terrible misses that, I find it hard to care. Like, okay, great. Tyrone Tracy looks good. You're right.
I don't disagree with you about the drafts. They're very underwhelming. But despite the underwhelming 2022, right, 2023 drafts, they're still fielding a good roster.
Like, I wouldn't say good. I'd say it's fine. It's fine.
I mean, they have a good offensive line. They have a good defensive line. They have good skill players.
They can't stop the run at all, though.
I understand that. I was going to get there. They can't stop the run, and their secondary has a lot of weaknesses. The secondary is very alarming because they've invested a lot of capital into there, and they still have one.
And you know what? Their offensive line is not that good because they can't run the ball.
They can run the ball. They ran the ball very well the last 3 weeks.
Nick, what do they rank?
In efficiency or just overall yards?
Just give me some stats. I don't know.
Okay, I got because you.
When think back to the fucking Cowboys game. Like, we go into the Cowboys game.
Ethan, they ran the ball worst, for 170 yards against the number two run defense a couple weeks ago in Pittsburgh.
Okay, and they didn't do it. That's great. They didn't do anything against the Cowboys and the Bengals. There's no consistency to the run game.
But it's been a lot better the last couple. I think they've been in games because of their running game.
Because they ran the ball 17 of their first 18 snaps against the Commanders.
Are we now putting a criteria on how we judge running? Like,
I don't think it was efficient.
I think it was very efficient. I mean, overall,
the Giants are 23rd in offensive efficiency
For running.
For running, yeah.
Thank you.
They're 18th in rushing yards, 14th in rushing yards. They're 23rd in efficiency.
Okay, so they're not efficient. They're running the shit out of the ball because they can't throw it.
But that also includes sacks, and they do take a lot of sacks. That includes all of the lateral passes that are technically
the stupid Daniel Jones keep the ball, try to run, and only gain a yard or no gain.
How do you take the sack on the flea flicker is maybe the most inexplicable thing I've ever seen. And like, he's made some awful decisions. They had two guys wide open. And the point of a flea flicker is to get the ball out quickly because the defense is off guard and he's standing in the pocket like he's got all day. You have two guys wide open. It's just, oh my God, there's no anticipation.
You're preaching. These are the type of plays that kill a team's confidence. I mean, Wandale Robinson.
And yet the head coach didn't fucking pull him.
That was really surprising that he didn't pull him.
Do you know what happened?
When?
Going into the second half, every single beat writer that left their family to travel to Munich, Germany, looked around the press box at Allianz Stadium and looked at each other.
That's a great stadium, by the way. All
simultaneously went, I mean, that's got to be it, right? Because they all tweeted it. Yeah. They all tweeted it. And despite taking the worst sack you could possibly take, he sends the guy back out there. Rationalize that for me.
I'd like to see Daniel Jones slip out of this one.
I actually think they would, if they would have went to Drew Lock and the way that second half played out, I think they would have won that game. I think they would have won
Drew Lock probably has them at least four wins. There's no way it's worse than this. There's no way.
It can't be.
I mean, the Jones turnovers yesterday are the most inexplicable, nonsensical decisions. Like, even if you sent some schmuck out there who's from the XFL, he wouldn't make those interceptions.
Do you remember that interception where it bounced off Clowney's head?
Yes. He didn't even get a finger. He just threw it right at his helmet.
But do you see what would have happened if, let's say he didn't get hit?
If Jadeveon Clowney was decapitated, sure. Yeah. If it went right through his head, what would have happened, Weiss?
It probably either would have been incomplete or intercepted or no gain at best. The throw to Tracy, everyone's like, what kind of play call is that? The choice was, so I think it's the safety. If the safety comes up to the running back, you got one-on-one on the slant. I think it was Neighbors. If the safety comes up, you throw to, I think it was Neighbors. I'm not 100% sure, but you throw that receiver who's got one-on-one on the slant. If the safety comes up to the running back, and he still throws it to the running back.
It's because he can't hit a one-on-one.
It's again, you keep telling, like, not you guys, but they keep telling us that he gives us the best chance to win. I really want to know what chance that is. Like, because at no point do you think that you have a chance with this guy. And it just snowballs after the first mistake. But with that said, going back to your question, I don't think you can pull the plug after 3 years. You just can't. Especially the fact that the coach won a playoff game in his first year.
Do you think that is separate? Okay, so let me break that up for you. Is that just purely based on the principle that this takes too much time to just sink 3 years down the toilet like that, regardless of really what's actually happening? You know, like, I agree with what was said before about the drafts, where they have had good process, but they haven't hit on their guys. Would you be saying that if it were, you know, I'm trying to think of how I want to say this, because is it on just the merit of 3 years is too short, or is it specifically that because Dable and Shane showed some promise at the beginning and it's only been 3 years?
So when they first hired Joe Shane and Brian Dable, this was always a long-term thing. I think a lot more with the front office. And I think there's been a lot of turnover, and I know Ethan doesn't want to hear this, but it takes time to turn over an entire front office, change the way you do things. But again, this is not
a Shane was just jerking off and eating buffalo wings when he was working for Buffalo.
No, okay. That's not the case. I think you have to be like, let's be rational for a second, right? The first offseason, and again, I'm not making excuses, but like they whiffed on a lot of things that first draft, but I don't think that you can necessarily look at that and then say part of the reason we're firing you is because of that. I think we'll give you the fact that you whiffed on Evan Neal. Where it sort of snowballs is the fact that he's also missed a lot on 2023. Then we're combining the two. My whole thing is, now you turned over the front office, you completely overhauled that. you've had success your first year here in terms of results. You went to the playoffs, you won a playoff game. You messed up on the quarterback situation mightily, not just with the contract, but what you did after that. I don't think that you can just pull the plug because two bad drafts.
My counter to you is, do you think that it is an indictment on Joe Shane that his most successful season by far happened with a majority not his guys?
Well, I completely disagree with that, because the majority of the success that first year was because of his guy, Brian Daboll.
Yeah, so, you do get credit for picking the right coach. Still,
you get credit for, if you want to sit there and you want to tell me
that's fine. And the coach was there last year, and the coach has been there this year. The only difference has been the roster turnover, in which more and more of his guys are here. And you could even make the argument,
the ultimate guy, which is the quarterback.
Okay, but again, he made that decision. That was his decision, was to bring Daniel Jones back. So again, another knock on him. And Andrew Thomas, not drafted by him, probably the best player on the offensive side of the ball. Dexter Lawrence, not drafted by him, the most important player on the defensive side of the ball. The second most important player on the defensive side of the ball was a guy that he traded for and signed, didn't even draft, in Brian.
So we're not giving, for some reason we're taking away credit because, see,
I'm saying that his record as a talent evaluator is bad.
I disagree. Drafter, yeah, his drafts is not
good. That's talent evaluation.
Well, it's not that's not all what a GM's judged on. You judged on the trade, you judged on the free agent signing. I think this roster is a lot better than what it was when Joe Shane took over. I truly, truly believe that, especially on the offensive side of the ball. I think they have really good skill players. Even if you don't want to count Hyatt, I think Slayton is a good receiver. Yes, he didn't draft him. I think Wanda's a good player. And I think, he has built a good offensive line with his guys. I think that's a good O-line. Compared to the rest of the league,
it's probably an above average line. And again, they're guys that he brought in through free agency.
Okay, but that's not an indictment on him. He whiffed
on draft. Who have his offensive line picks been?
I understand what you're saying, but I'm looking at the GM evaluation. Yes, a large chunk of it is draft, but I'm also looking at the roster right now. It's not like this roster is like a complete shit bag roster where it's like,
I don't disagree with you, but at some point,
drafting
has to show results.
Absolutely.
That's a huge indictment on him.
At some point, but that some point is, that some point doesn't land right now.
Year two and year three for the first two draft class, I'm sorry, I'm expecting better results.
Then you know what? Then any guy you draft, then any guy you bring in, regardless what it is, you have to prepare yourself for the fact he has to prepare himself where it's like, hey, if you're first, you're going to be judged in year three on your first and second drafts. And if you whiff on those two, I don't care what the team looks like, you're gone.
I'm not saying it's the end all be all, but notice that I haven't even complimented or been negative about this year's draft class because I understand that these guys
need to marry. I don't even want to talk about this year's draft class. But look, Ethan, you and I, where were we when the season started? What did we say about this roster?
I thought they were good enough to go 500. I was wrong.
Were you wrong about the roster? Were you wrong about what the ceiling was with this quarterback?
Both.
Where were you wrong about the roster? Because I remember you talking about how good the O-line is. You talked about the D-line.
I thought the run game, Nick, I don't know if you have the Pro Football Focus stats, but like I think at some point after the first few weeks, like they were around like 10 or 11 in pass protection, which is great. But the fact that they're the 23rd most efficient, which is oxymoronic, the 23rd most efficient run offense is not good. The fact that they can't move the ball through the air, yeah, that's part of that's on the quarterback, but like
a large part's down the quarterback.
Most of it's on the quarterback.
Okay, let's look at Brian Daboll for a second. We talked about Shane, right? Let's look at Daboll. Has his play calling been like, oh my God, this is so bad? Like, is this guy?
No, guys are open. I'll give him that. Guys are open and there are plays to be hit. That's fair. Thank you. That's a fair critique.
If you want to criticize this regime,
then why does he roll out the guy responsible for not hitting him?
I was just about to say that.
That's a huge part of this. That's his decision. He's the head coach. Play someone else. You're getting guys open. How many more fucking weeks are you going to watch your open guys not catch the ball because of the decisions that you're making at the quarterback position?
That's where I am. I agree with you on that. I was just going to say that you basically took the words right out of my mouth and added some fire to it. That's exactly what I was going to say is you keep trotting the guy out there. Eventually we got to start looking at you, and we are. But again, everything I've said in terms of how I view this roster and how I view Brian Daboll's play calling is why I am still comfortable with their quarterback evaluation. I mean, I don't have a problem that they didn't take a quarterback last year. Ethan, do you have a problem with that?
No. I'm well on the record.
So, I think it's an emotional time, but I think one thing that I promised myself was that I'm not going to be too emotional. I understand. Listen, I can't defend the drafting, but I can defend the roster, and I will. I don't think this roster is a 2-8 roster, despite what people say.
No, it's not. Yeah. The biggest thing, and I want to jump in here real quick for this, every one of these games they're losing is a 1-score game. They have had 3 or 4 chances in all of these close games to win these games at the end, whether it's the Pittsburgh game, the Carolina game, the Bengal game. They have been in all of these games, but because
you were in the Cowboys game.
Yeah.
And I want to say, exactly what you're saying, I want to add to that is that what I'm about to say is that it's not me saying that, okay, you know, it's not Daboll and Joe Shane's fault. What I'm going to say is that if they had better quarterback play, they win some of these games. Maybe not all those close games, but they win some of these games. That's the reason why I don't think that this roster is bad. And that's why I'm not sitting here saying we got to pull the plug on this. I like where the roster's at. They have to add to it. Obviously, they have to draft better. Obviously, I'm not sitting here saying that they don't have to draft better. But the free agency has been good. The trades have been good. I'm okay moving forward. Now, going into the offseason, obviously, they have to find their quarterback. Right? It's pretty obvious about that. Am I comfortable with their quarterback evaluations? Yeah. So that's where I am. I'm sorry. I'm not like,
wait, you're comfortable with their quarterback evaluations?
For the most part. Yes.
Okay. Rationalize that for me. Daniel Jones, here's a massive contract.
Yeah.
By the way, now that we know that you suck for certain, we're also not going to let anyone even compete for your starting job.
So the reason
and why we're 2-8, and all of us have agreed that they'd probably have at least 4 wins had Drew Lock been starting, but Drew Lock is not starting, and you trust their evaluation.
So
because Joe Shane worked for Buffalo when they drafted Josh Allen and probably got lucky.
Well, I trust Daboll's ability to develop a quarterback a lot. And when you talk about the quarterback situation, number one, I think there was no way Daniel Jones was not getting that contract, regardless who the general manager was. Not excusing their decision to pay Jones, but I think it was an emotional year for them.
But
no, I'm not. They won a playoff game. It would have been a tough sell on anyone, the fan base, any
franchise tag, whatever.
I get it. Right? Okay. Now their decision to not bring in real competition on Jones, to me, was more so them sticking to their plan, their original plan when they paid Jones, rather than their.
I don't like sticking to a plan that obviously does not work.
I agree. Maybe if they would have taken the approach with Jones as they did with some of these draft picks that they whiffed and how they were able to replace them and get competent play at those positions, maybe we'd be having a different conversations. But
good point.
I was happy they didn't take a quarterback for the sake of taking a quarterback last year.
I agree.
So, and yeah, some of the Hard Knock clips, hearing them talk about these quarterbacks. Yeah, that
Shane's kids were right.
Yeah, Brian Daboll was right too.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, Brian Daboll was right too. But this is what like pisses me off is that teams don't tank.
Like, no, they're not.
Players don't tank. Coaches don't tank, especially coaches approaching end of year 3 who need to win games. Likely, like, who knows? Because again, Joe Judge was safe until he wasn't. John Mara said everyone's safe and everyone is safe until they're not. For a coach who is...
You can't trust an unhinged owner. You're right.
Who is obviously not tanking to make a very obviously I'm tanking decision to keep starting this fucking quarterback. None of it adds up.
It doesn't. You're right. You're right. I'm confused too.
Like, you're going to convince me that the guy's tanking in the year where Shedeur Sanders is QB1? No, no thanks.
I think you're being a little bit harsh on these two quarterbacks that people are talking about. I do think
Shedeur Sanders. Cam Ward? No. I will be, if the Giants say, and he wants to play here, Shedeur Sanders, like, you're the guy, fine. Absolutely. Like, I think he's very talented. And if they deem his dad and his personality as a whole won't be a distraction, I'll get on board with that. I'll give the kid a chance. No problem. Cam Ward is going to get an entire
organization. Why? What's it like with Cam Ward?
He takes a gazillion seconds in the pocket. He's playing against a cupcake schedule. His guys are wide open. And a year ago, he was projected to be like a fourth or a fifth round guy until he hit the transfer portal with apparently every single other good player in the country and wound up at Miami.
Well, that's the same thing with Jaden Daniels. He was projected to be like a mid round pick, you know, and then he went to LSU, won the Heisman, went second overall.
Again, in the SEC.
And well,
throwing to Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas Jr.
Again, we've discussed that magical formula.
Well, what about Drake May last year?
What about
we were in on Drake May?
I don't know, but he played. I mean, I'm talking about his point about why you can't draft Cam Ward, ACC schedule.
Because Drake May is a freak athlete and Cam Ward is not.
Cam Ward has a really good live arm. I think he
does. He has okay,
Drake, raw skills. Drake May is bigger and faster.
I don't know about faster. I think
he is faster. Dude, Cam Ward's 40 time, I Googled it like a couple weeks ago. It's like 5 seconds. He's not fast.
We'll see at the combine. But
okay, by the way, I'm going to say this right now because I literally had this thought a couple days ago. The Miami Pro Day is going to cook his 40 time so egregiously. I want it on record now that he's going to run like a 4.7, like a low 4.7, like a 4.71 or something like that. And that time is going to be so fake. I want that on record. That is going to happen. And Nick, you just write down your post-it timestamp, just put it on your wall. When it's draft season and Cam Ward runs a 4.7 at Miami Pro Day, you will come back and we can clip this.
I agree with you. Look, Ward.
The Shedeur Sanders drama thing has really died down.
Because Colorado's winning football
games. Yeah, because exactly. They're winning. You're going to throw him into an organization that's done nothing but lose with the New York media. Oh, my goodness, dude.
The Giants are going to draft Shedeur. The Cowboys are going to hire Dion, and we're going to have
Pat Leonard might just start putting his articles behind an OnlyFans paywall to become like a millionaire if Shedeur Sanders comes to New York.
This is a New York Daily News free podcast.
Whatever.
Oh, man. And the thing that sucks is the Eagles aren't very good. Dallas is dead. No. Washington is decent. But like
Washington's good, but they haven't beaten anyone good.
Washington is 7-0 against team with the losing record. 0-3
Yeah, and they're 0-3. Yeah, exactly.
Hey man, you beat the bad teams, you make the playoffs. Look at the Vikings.
Listen, no one's debating that. The Giants did that a couple years ago.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. I don't hate the player, hate the game. It's just absolutely atrocious that we're in year three of this regime in a year that if they had fielded a competent roster and quarterback, we could be contending for the playoffs right now. And the Cowboys
Arizona's in a playoff spot.
The NFL in general is atrocious. It's a terrible product. I mean, even last night's game was just disgusting. Jared Goff had 5 picks.
And that's the best team in the league.
Did Houston even score in the second half? Like they had a field goal, maybe?
A field goal, yeah.
CJ Stroud is struggling a lot. And a lot of that's because the O-line is bad and the receivers all got hurt. But man.
Yes. Dude, you know, so Justin Penick tweeted this earlier today, and I still don't know if I believe him. I mean, obviously, he's not lying, but hold on, let me find the stat. It was insane. It was something along the lines of like the Texans. I think it was he tweeted it. Maybe I'm lying. Yeah, it's unbelievable to see the Texans so bad on early downs after the success they had last year. They're 29th in EPA per play on first and second down. Stroud has faced the most third and 10 situations in the NFL this year. I know they're injured, but being this bad probably means there are bigger issues. Bro, Joe Mixon has had like up until last night had like eight or nine straight games of rushing for like 120 yards or more. Yeah. How is it possible that that he is facing the most third and tens in the country?
Because so this is one of those fallacies that I forget whose book it was in, where if teams run the ball well, they run the ball too much and you run into the issue of, because you've been running it successfully for 4 or 5 yards a clip most of the game, you don't take the negative runs as seriously as you should, and that's how you end up in those extra long situations. It's one of those things that doesn't make sense on the surface, but if you look under the hood, because you run the ball reasonably well, you're like, all right, so 1st and 10, we'll run the ball. We get 2nd and 9, 2nd and 8. Okay, so we'll run it again to get it to 3rd and medium. Damn, we didn't get it. It's really that simple. Yeah. It's one of those logical fallacies you fall into where we run the ball well, so let's get it going and let's set up our quarterback to be in an easy situation.
Interesting.
Okay. Yeah.
But yeah, NFL sucks. Terrible product.
This is the worst season in a while. Like, yeah. I'm genuinely...
The Chiefs are like the worst undefeated team I've ever watched.
I'm not going to lie. I'm sick of the Chiefs. Mahomes running the length of the field like they won the Super Bowl because the Broncos missed the kick to beat fucking Bo Nix. You need to have some shame. You
won really.
two Super Bowls, three MVPs. That's
AFC Rookie of the Month, Bo Nix, you're talking about.
Oh, yes, yes. Our apologies.
Yeah. Hey, man.
Watch your mouth. That's AFC.
I'm talking about Mahomes having some self-respect. I can't believe
Joe Shane didn't draft Rookie of the Month.
Yeah,
I'm talking about Patrick Mahomes, who's won 3 Super Bowls, having some self-respect. Maybe
I don't think self-respect runs.
You're acting like they stormed the field.
Mahomes ran 35 yards full speed to celebrate with the defense like they just won the Super Bowl on a missed field goal in a game they only scored 17 points. Like, have some self-respect. 16 points, excuse me. Have some self-respect. Like, you should be beating the Broncos. That doesn't require a massive celebration.
It was a great week for the Mahomes family, so you can't really blame them. Maybe he was celebrating something else, too, on the field.
I don't know if we know that for certain.
Oh, we do.
No, because we haven't heard from Jackson Mahomes. We haven't heard from Patrick's dad.
Well, the three-time DUI guy who grew up a professional athlete in Texas, I'm going to go out on a limb and say he doesn't really care about certain things. And same thing for Patrick, child of privilege, I don't have to deal with consequences. Enough about that. Because for what it's worth, I mean, at the end of the day, we do have to endure another
Nick doesn't have any red hats in his closet.
I do have red hats, but not that red hat. I have a Budweiser one. I have an Alabama one. I have a Georgia one. But the NFL's bad. Like,
you got all those swing state hats, huh?
Alabama's not a swing state.
Oh, you said Georgia. I thought you said
North Carolina. Yeah, I do have a Georgia hat. But yeah, I was kind of bored watching Red Zone yesterday, I think, for the first time in my life. Like, I'm not having fun. Like, so many teams are terrible. There are legitimately like 10 teams who all have 3 wins or less. Like, this is horrendous football. The Bears are a disgrace. The Titans are a disgrace. The Jaguars. There are so many teams that are just horrendous on a weekly basis. And like, I want to feel bad about the Giants, but maybe this is the league-wide thing. Maybe there just aren't enough good players. Maybe there aren't enough good quarterbacks. And we're all just dealing with
maybe there's just so much turnover on a year-to-year basis where we're sort of continuing the cycle of firing coaches, hiring, turnover your roster, getting rid of quarterbacks. Maybe we're just, you know, seeing what happens when you do that.
They're probably interconnected. It's probably both.
Joe Flacco's playing because the Colts decided to bench Anthony Richardson 10 games in his career when they drafted a project. They drafted a guy that needed snaps.
Anthony Richardson only had like 13 college starts and he's benched 10 NFL starts in. I mean, Flacco did not have a single NFL start when he was Anthony Richardson's age. He was just coming into the league at the age Anthony Richardson is. These guys are rawer, they're slower, and because there's so much turnover, these coaches put them in
I think like a lot of things in life are cyclical. I think we're entering back into that cycle of like rookie quarterbacks sitting for like at least half a season, maybe even a season before they get thrown into the fire. And obviously that's a good thing for their development, but also the product on the field is unwatchable sometimes. So
the one counterpoint I will say to that is I do think you're going to see college quarterbacks being older now because I do think we're gonna see quarterbacks coming out at an older age where it's kind of like It's kind of like what's going on in college basketball right now, where the teams that win the national title are a lot older because guys can stay an extra year and guys can go from program to program. So I'll be curious to see if we keep seeing that, where guys are 23 and 22 when they come out as opposed to 20 or 21. I mean, look at the underclassmen right now, Shador, Quinn, Beck. None of those guys really is like, wow, in the tier of like Lawrence.
Can't miss prospect.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Even the can't miss guys aren't, you know, can't miss. You actually have to do something with them. I mean, Lawrence is definitely, I still think Trevor Lawrence is a talented player. He has no chance to succeed and he is not playing good football. I think you look at a lot of these young guys. Look, Caleb looked terrible yesterday and the Bears weren't exactly playing.
Oh my God, dude. Well, that is actually a travesty. I saw that clip of him just laying on the floor. His body looked mangled, and then the defender went to go pick him up instead of his offensive line. And by the way, Eberflus is, we're recording at 11:15 a.m. on Monday.
What's his name?
Eberflus?
Eberflus.
Eberflus.
You were close.
Whatever. His press conference was supposed to be at like 10 a.m. and they pushed it back. So he might be fucking donezo.
Nah.
No, I don't. Chicago doesn't fire coaches in the middle of the season.
Yeah, they're stupid like us.
Yeah, okay.
Who did we try to get from their front office? Who did John Mara talk to in the Bears front office for continuity?
No, he was bad.
He gave the owner
advice
on how to run a team.
Yes, right.
Isn't she 100 years old? Isn't Virginia McCaskey like
a... What's the son's name? The son's name is like George McCaskey or something like that?
I think something like that, yeah.
No, I agree with you, though, Nick. I think so much turnover, the fact that we're quick to pull these quarterbacks. Tom Brady was right. You know? I mean, it goes to show maybe we should listen to a guy that's won a gazillion Super Bowls when it comes to football. You know? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, 4 years of college, a year on the bench, probably better for your development than getting thrown into the fire.
I remember people got mad at Tom Brady because he said that you have to establish the run, and a bunch of analytical people were like killing him on it. In a game where the Ravens rushed for like 300 yards. So
that's a chicken or an egg argument. That's the thing, though. That's kind of like what we were talking about before, how like Houston has thrown against a bunch of third and longs, even though they run the ball well. You need to be able to run the ball effectively. You don't need to establish the run. Those are two different things. You know, you got to be able to pick up those third and shorts, those second and threes, second and fours. That's where you really make your money as a running team. If you pick those up and you constantly, like what Baltimore does. Baltimore has no defense, though, so they'll probably end up losing to Kansas City, unfortunately.
Probably. Still think the Super Bowl runs through Detroit, which is exciting.
I don't know, man. That game really turned me off to Detroit last night. Jared Goff.
Like, dude, again, I actually had the exact... Like, they were talking about how... I think it was Chris Collinsworth. He was going on and on about how it was good for them to actually have some adversity. Like, I'm sorry. He's correct. If your quarterback can throw five picks on the road and you can come back and win in regulation, dude, that is a talented team. Well coached. Their offensive coordinator is going to be the number one head coaching hire if he decides to leave. Their defense balls out. They have probably the best offensive line in the league, an incredible running game. To me, they're the team to beat. I really do think that.
Kansas
City stinks.
Nick, they stink, but they've got black magic. It doesn't make any sense.
They'll continue winning games like this.
Yeah.
Look at their schedule. If they beat Buffalo next week, right?
They probably run the table.
Look at at Carolina, the Raiders, the Chargers.
Oh, man.
At Cleveland.
Chargers going to be a good game.
Houston. The Chargers at home, though. And then at Pittsburgh on Christmas, and then
Jim Harbaugh doesn't care where the game is.
But I mean, that's if they beat Buffalo, that's only one potential loss, two potential losses.
Yeah, I mean, they might be sitting at 15-2, 15-1.
Is there a chance that Pacheco's coming back? Right?
Yes, he'll be back.
But Hollywood Brown is not coming back.
No, no.
And Rashee Rice is highly unlikely to come back.
Yes.
So the receiving core is going to be Hopkins, Xavier Worthy. Didn't they trade for another receiver too? Or don't they have another receiver that they're going to be going with?
They got Mecole.
That's the guy I was thinking about. There's nobody. They still have Juju Smith-Schuster?
No. I don't think Juju's on a team.
Well, no, he was.
He wasn't.
I'm pretty sure he was on Kansas City this year.
Yeah. I remember he scored a touchdown. And
yeah, he might still be there, just not starting now that they have Hopkins.
Yeah, he's on the Chiefs. Yeah,
yeah, he's on the Chiefs. So they'll continue to win games like this. Like, there's going to be like these 20 to 17 games. It actually goes back to the AFC Championship game last year. Like, from that game on, it's been exactly what we've seen. Like, these low-scoring games where their defense is really good. Nobody's defense is really, really good.
Yeah. All right. Should we wrap up?
Yeah.
Mercifully.
Into the bye we go. I'm not even going to do a housekeeping if you made it this far.
Hopefully we come out of the bye with Drew Lock starting.
I hope
this is such a sad state of affairs.
I hope so.
It makes me sick, motherfucker, how far we fell.
I actually want to watch. I actually want to watch Drew Lock.
But you know what? Like, we're going to be. So both us and the Bucks have a bye this week. And the Bucks have lost 5 or 6 one-score games. I hope Baker just demolishes us. Make it painless. Chance.
I mean, they're running the ball well too. All right, let's get it.
They got their own two-headed monster right now.
Yeah.
All right, that's it. Talk to you guys next week.
Peace.